Looking today at Acts chapter 17, if you're using the Bible there in the pew rack, it's page number 926. Acts chapter 17, verses 10 through 15. Let us hear God's word, brothers and sisters, as we read his word in worship. The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was proclaimed by Paul at Berea also, they came there too, agitating and stirring up the crowds. Then the brothers immediately sent Paul off on his way to the sea, but Silas and Timothy remained there. Those who conducted Paul brought him as far as Athens, and after receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him as soon as possible, they departed. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Please be seated. For many of you, you'll hear the music in your head as I read these lyrics. There's a man who leads a life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. With every move he makes, another chance he takes. Odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Beware of pretty faces that you find. A pretty face can hide an evil mind. Be careful what you say or you'll give yourself away. Odds are you won't live to see tomorrow. Swinging on the Riviera one day and then laying in the Bombay alley the next day. Oh no, you let the wrong word slip while kissing persuasive lips. The odds are you won't live to see tomorrow. I think many of you probably know the chorus. Secret agent man. Secret agent man. They've given you a number and taken away your name. Espionage. We love novels. We love movies. We love adventure. We love that sense of drama. If you're like me, you might lie awake some nights thinking they killed off James Bond in the last. What are they going to do to bring him back? We already did the prequel reinvention thing with Daniel Craig. What happens next? We love that sense of espionage, of not knowing who to be able to trust, the Gorky Park moments in life. Who is on whose side here, and who can we trust? Well, unlike the secret ministry of defense in the UK, the gospel ministry is a public ministry. It's done out in the open. It's done with the lights on. It's done being publicly declared so it can be double-checked. And public ministry brings public criticisms, public attacks, public and private discouragements. Paul is taking his mission from place to place, and the discouragements are potentially many, especially as these Thessalonians just keep badgering him and won't stop. They are the social media comments of Paul's ministry. They just won't leave him alone. But what we see in our text today is the church thinking ahead and the church operating wisely so that the gospel ministry can carry on. And while Paul is not a secret agent man, he willingly and joyfully participates in this moment of secrecy and being snatched away so that his mission can continue. And so, friends, I want to encourage you today that the world, the flesh, and the devil seek to destroy the gospel ministry. The world, the flesh, and the devil seek to destroy gospel ministry. So, strategically support and participate in gospel ministry and life together. First, our enemies practice espionage. Our enemies practice espionage, so saints operate strategically. You see, in the very beginning of our text, the brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. We see at the end of our text, then the brothers immediately sent Paul off on his way to the sea, but Silas and Timothy remained there. Those who conducted Paul brought him as far as Athens, and after receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him as soon as possible, they departed. So they got the main apostle out, then they go back to get the other two guys and to bring them to Paul where he is. The enemies were practicing espionage, so the saints operated strategically. If you want a shortened version of this, the enemy's espionage requires the saints' strategery. We see this throughout Scripture, where God's people are called to operate in a way that they might not typically operate otherwise. We see this in Genesis, when part of Abram's household and family is kidnapped and taken away. And in Genesis 14, we read, when Abram heard that his kinsmen had been taken captive, I'm going to stop there. He didn't say, well, I guess that's God's will. He didn't even say, I'm going to pray about it and see what God would have me do. No, he made a decision, and what does he do? He led forth his trained men, born in his house, 318 of them, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. And he divided his forces against them by night, he and his servants, and defeated them and pursued them to Hobah, north of Damascus. Then he brought back all the possessions and also brought back his kinsman Lot with his possessions and the women and the people. When a moment happened and a decision needed to be made, Abram made the decision and he executed. Boy, did he execute. There is no righteousness in praying about something until the moment passes and saying, well, then I guess God didn't want me to do anything. In Hebrews 11, we read, by faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. This is what James 2 is talking about when he talks about Rahab being justified by her works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way. Those of us who might have very black and white ethics in every single matter can easily get confused by Rahab. But she lied. She didn't just say, oh, here they are. It must be God's will that you find them. Even Jesus at times would slip away when the crowds were going to king him or kill him, depended on the day and which village he was in. He would slip through the crowds and get away. Why? Because it was not the Father's time for him. Or we find Paul just a few sections ago calling on the town officials to come release him from jail to prove that the gospel is not some fly-by-night operation. And yet here in this text today, we have the apostles literally flying by night to keep Paul and his associates safe. The brothers, the elders, the men from these infant churches, perhaps even that's an inclusive phrase, so it might even be some of the women who are powerful there in Berea were using their wisdom and their prowess to protect the apostles. They put themselves at risk for the sake of gospel ministry. And you can probably think of other moments in Scripture or that you've experienced in your life in the world where strategic thinking on the part of God's people made a difference, perhaps in your life or in the life of another. In 1984, when I was seven, sorry, don't do the math, my parents went with another couple to communist Romania, where my dad went on a two-week preaching trip to encourage the churches there. I sat in many church basements with my dad or my mom and dad over the years watching them present on this trip. And there's one photo, one moment in my dad's presentation that to this day still strikes me, and it was a literal slideshow, not a digital one. The water pump on their rental car had given out in communist Romania. Ceausescu was one of the worst dictators. The local pastor who was coordinating that part of the trip walked into a factory where there was a brother from the church, a brilliant brother, if I remember correctly, was an engineer by training and trade, and his job in that factory was to sweep the floors because he was a Christian. And so sweeping the floors, it was. When he was told that the pastor and friends from America needed a water pump, he walked off the job and went to his home where he had a collection of used auto parts. And he proceeded to engineer a water pump not made for the car that they were driving so that it would work on the car that they were driving so that they could go on their way. This is the part of the story that sticks out to me. As I remember it, my mom or dad snapped a picture out the back window of the man standing in the lane waving to them as they left. And I'll never forget my dad's words. That man was getting ready to go back into the factory, not knowing what he would face. Because in that context, friends, you don't just walk off the job, especially to help an American pastor. He put his job, perhaps even his very life, at risk to help the gospel ministry continue. The gospel ministry was in need, and the pastor knew that there was a mechanic, an engineer who could help. And they did what needed to be done so that that preaching tour could carry on. In the second part of verse 10, we find our second point. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogues. Brothers and sisters, stay focused on our mission. Stay focused on our mission. New town, where did they go? The Jewish synagogue. New town, where did they go? The Jewish synagogue. New town, where did they go? The Jewish synagogue. Why? Because they had structured their mission to reach the Jew first and also the Greek, even with Paul's obligation that he sensed to the Gentiles. He had an obligation to them, but he always went about the mission. He always consistently. Now, I don't know if there were some friends along for the ride who were in the back of the synagogue going, why do we always do it this way? Paul's always talking about the synagogue, the Jew first, then the Gentile. Can't he just mix it up a little bit? I don't know what might have been said. But Paul was not going to be deterred from his mission. To the Jew first, then to the Gentile. And brothers and sisters, we need to have that laser focus on the mission that Christ has given us as a church. And we'll be tempted to complain. We'll be tempted to be tired, perhaps even lazy. And that's just me. And it's my job to talk about it. It's my job to train and encourage you in the ministry that we have to do. But friends, we must stay focused on our mission, the mission of the gospel in this place. Oh, but good news travels fast. And in verse 13 we read, but when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was proclaimed by Paul at Berea also, they came there too. A more modern translation might read, they couldn't even. They had had enough. They came agitating and stirring up the crowds. Number three. Don't be discouraged from our mission. Remember, the world, our sinful flesh, the devil want to destroy gospel ministry. There will be frustrations along the way. There will be agitators along the way. There will be all kinds of taters along the way. We have a carry-in next week. There's probably going to be some mashed taters along with the agitators. I don't know. But friends, all kinds of distraction, all kinds of harassments can come toward the body of Christ. And we must not be discouraged from our mission. The apostles, they faced it in Philippi. They faced it in Thessalonica. Now they're facing it in Berea. Here they come. Here comes the entourage to cause trouble. And that agitating, that stirring up, those are two different Greek words that mean the exact same thing. This is a doubling to show emphasis at the intention and the activity that was going on to rile up the crowds against the apostles. Oh, that the church were as diligent in its mission as the enemy is in its mission. They showed up, they went after it, and they are riling up the crowd, and there's an urgency to remove Paul from the situation. And so, we have read in verse 14, they immediately sent Paul off on his way to the sea. Just get him out of town, and they take him as far as Athens. Friends, I don't know what your personal discouragements are. It might be kids, it might be a parent, it might be your workplace, it might be friends that have turned their back on the gospel and consequently on you, it might even be a spouse or another family member. It just always wants to tear down what you are seeking to do for Christ and his church. Friends, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. And it's okay to provide some distance. It's okay to step away. Fourthly, and shockingly, finally, today, Receive the word nobly. Receive the word nobly. What did Paul and the other brothers find as they go to Berea? They didn't find a Berea Bible Church. That's where those church names come from, is here. Now, these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And that's phraseology that can point to noble birth, well-born, a nobleman, a noble birth. But the emphasis here seems to be on that nobility of mind, that ability to be taught, that ability to be presented with new information, and as the goal of gospel teaching is, for that information to change them. They receive the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. If you're ever encouraged to be a Berean, that's what someone is encouraging you to do. To not just take biblical teaching on the face of it, but to go home and do your own research. See if what's being taught from the pulpit is true. Not, hear me, it's not about whether you like what you hear or not. That's not the standard. The standard is if what is said accords with the rest of Scripture. That's the standard. Paul warns Timothy about a time that is coming. This is in 2 Timothy 4. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. That's Paul's call to Timothy. As a young pastor, it's the call of the Spirit to the church. To not be those who are only willing to listen to teaching that we like. To not be those who only want the part of the story told that we're comfortable with. But to take what is taught and to search the rest of the scriptures and see if what is said is true, whether you like it or not. That's your work to do. And see how Paul ties together accomplishing the gospel work while enduring suffering to those who will turn away from the fullness of the gospel truth. Now, Paul is talking about those in an extremity. The lust there are sinful, sexual. There's a lot going on in that text. But the principle that stands is there are those who won't like preaching and teaching because it doesn't exactly say something the way they would want it said, or it strikes them different than how they would like it to strike them. And brothers and sisters, I would encourage you that if I preach something and you don't like it, your first line of operation is not to put down or insult the preaching of this pulpit. Your first line is to take what's said and say, maybe God is working on something in my life, and boy, I don't like it. Boy, it's uncomfortable. I am squirming. This hurts. But it's your job to search the scriptures and see if it's true. Not whether it makes you comfortable or not. Not whether you like it or not. Is it true? If you search the scriptures and you find it isn't true, let's talk. Come straighten me out. Friends, search the word. Honestly, this is America. I drive my Presbyterian friends nuts, and I am one, when I say in America, everything is ultimately congregationalism. I don't like something, I can leave. You're free to like it or not like it. You're free to obey it or to shun it. That's on you. But the standard is not me or you. That's not the standard. The standard is Scripture. God's eternal, inspired, inerrant word. That's the standard. And only as we stay connected to the scriptures, searching them, even searching them together, that's the goal and the vision from the session for higher ed, fellowship, encouraging discipleship around the word together. That's our goal, that's our desire, that as we search the scriptures together, we will be able to endure destructive espionage from our mortal enemies. The world, our sinful flesh, and that accusing devil. Only as we live in the pages of God's living word will we have the wisdom to think and to operate strategically for the sake of the gospel mission that is to be fulfilled among us and from us into the world around us. Brothers and sisters, we are an outpost of heaven. We are an embassy of the eternal triune God. We are ambassadors, and our enemies hate it. They hate it. The world, the flesh, and the devil seek to destroy gospel ministry. So, strategically support and participate in gospel ministry and life together. Stand with me as we pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this illustration and example of these Bereans who would search the scriptures as the apostles were teaching them to see if these things were true. And Lord, even in that day when they were simply searching the Old Testament scriptures, we see the gospel there. We see the mission of the church present there. And now we, as we have the entire canon, this entire library that you have provided for us to learn, to grow, to be discipled by, to be conformed to the image of Christ through, we pray, Lord, that you would give us diligence. As we hear the word preached here or in other contexts, Lord, that you would give us diligence to search the scriptures, to set aside the standard of my own comfort and desires, and to take up the standard of the Bereans. Are these things true? Father, make us a people of truth, centered and grounded in your word. May it flow forth from this pulpit, in our relationships, in our ministries. Lord, may we be known as people of the book, people of truth. We pray these things in Christ's name. And church, let us pray together.